Thursday, January 21st, was by all rights a day that both Lyndon and I should have stayed in bed all day. But perhaps you don't come out down off the mountain of excitement so quickly. Lyndon had a meeting of the leadership at 10, and I got up at 9 to meet Margaret Truman Daniel and her two little boys. Mr. Grunther was showing them the White House, including the beagle, him, the swimming pool, everything on the first floor, my grandfather's balcony that I love so much, and their mother's bedroom and sitting room, which are now our kitchen and family dining room. I had a nice visit with him over a cup of coffee, but always trying to accumulate tales of what it was like when another family lived here, I asked Margaret. She told me instead one of her father's favorite tales, which was about President Coolidge. Senate Majority Leader Joe Robinson of Arkansas was having breakfast with President Coolidge. Mrs. Coolidge, big, handsome, aristocratic white collie, sat down beside him and looked up at him with mournful, solicitous eyes. President Coolidge said, "He wants your bacon." And after Joe Robinson picked up his one slice of bacon and offered it to the collie, who ate it appreciatively, and Senator Robinson kept on looking over his shoulder for the butler to come from the kitchen, offer him another piece. It never came. When they left, I went up to say goodbye to departing house guests. Ava and Aunt Jessie were getting off. I took them some presents, medallions, and books. Robert was getting Philip ready to take a 12 o'clock plane. He was going on another direction. Becky had left on an early morning reservation on which the three Alexanders had already left, so I didn't get to tell them goodbye. Ava had been so thrilled to meet and talk to some of the diplomats. She said she had enough to tell her school children about all year long, that it was the greatest thing that had ever happened to her. I called and checked now Blair, house guest. It seems that Mr. Ford had been on the Today Show and said that he predicted 30 years ago that Lyndon was going to be president. Children slept nearly all day. I treated myself to a massage. I kept little Peggy Stark trying to fill in for Ashton on the phone, locating some of the Johnson City folks and the sort of visitors who had never seen and never would again see the White House, to invite them for a special tour. Abel Stribling came at 4 o'clock with a group of 30, mostly Texans, including Joe Dacey, Minnie Cox, Mrs. Harry Griffith, and tour director Miss Schutze from Austin. Mabel was beaming when I met them in the Red Room, and recounting her adventures as head of the Ladies for Lyndon of Blanco County. She'd given her best, and now I was so happy to give mine by making it clear to everybody there that she was quite special. And then Tony, a group of friends, into the library for tea. Miguel Guajardo's from Acapulco, Ray Dwiggins and his wife. He's one of Lyndon's old friends from college at San Marcos. Diana, of course, and Gary and Jack Hopkins, and the Louis Slavitzes, with whom we'd had dinner in Tosco on our wonderful July trip. And his oldest friend, Colonel and Mrs. Whitney Ashbridge, and his